just the one ha'ara regarding the previous year, which we spoke about. So I pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah quotes towards the end of Perek Chelek of Ora Chaim, when he has the whole siman on this particular subject, that it is the case that a person would not have the dispensation if the tzibur was mekabel Shabbos, and even writes if even if a yachid was mekabel Shabbos early. But that seems to be a stira. The Shemir Shavos Kilchasa Chelek Beis points out there seems to be a stira with what he writes at length in the Be'er Halacha in Reish Samach Aleph, where he quotes many who say that if it's just the Yachid who is Mekabel Shabbos early, he still does have the dispensation. And I don't know that there's a perfect issue. Some say it depends upon whether he had in mind only to be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos, as opposed to if he was Mekabel the entire Kedusha of Shabbos. The Maisa probably doesn't happen so much that a person is Mekabel Shabbos early, independent of a tzibur. Usually a person does it in the context of being Mekabel together with a tzibur, so it's probably not so halacha l'maisa, but I thought I would mention that. Okay, so in today's daf, in Daf Yirad Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara talks about the various gzeros. There are 18 gzeros that were decreed in the Aliyah of Hananya ben Chizkiah ben Gaon, where Beis Shammai, the Talmidim of Beis Shammai prevailed over the Talmidim of Beis Hillel, and they won by majority vote a victory with respect to 18 different gzeros that pertain to the territory of Tuma B'Tara. For the most part, as far as the Gemara recites. So the Gemara talks about that the Sefer, if a Sefer is mitame, we're talking about what would be mitame the for Tuma, or would convey Tuma for Truma. So one of the items is Sefer. That was in order to prevent Taros or Truma from being put right nearby a Sefer, and there would be Achbarim that would go and would eat away at the Sefer, therefore they would go Zetuma, and that way they would avoid those problems. And then they will also go there on Yadayim. So the Gemara says, why would they go there on Yadayim? The Yadayim Nesha Yadayim Askani Yosein, because Yadayim are constantly touching various areas that are not clean within the body, and therefore they were goes their tumah on yadayim, that yadayim would be metame truma. So then the Gemara says Tana af yadayim and bos machma sefer posel says that truma. That there was a further gezeira. The further gezeira was that even if there were yadayim that had just touched a sefer, they would be posel as a truma. So if somebody touched his hands in a sefer Torah, and then the hands if afterwards touched the truma, then they would posel a truma, they would convey tuma to the truma. Mishum de Rabbi Parnach, and the Gemara says that this was based on the statement of Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Parnach, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, okay, sefer Torah Orum. If somebody touches, clasps a sefer Torah Arum, when he's naked, nikba Arum, then he gets very naked. Arum sakadaitik, what do you mean Arum? The person is naked, he's going to go touching a sefer Torah when he's naked. Elam Rabbi Zera Arum b'lo mitzvos. It means that a person is, in other words, the Arum sakadaitik, that he's buried naked. What does that mean, that we're burying somebody naked? So Rabbi Zera says, Arum b'lo mitzvos. Now it means that he dies Arum naked without mitzvos. B'lo mitzvos sakadaitik, just because he did mitzvos his entire life. And it happens that on one occasion he touched a Sefer Torah when he was when he was just using his naked hand. We assume he wasn't completely naked. It means that he was, Rashi says that he didn't use a mitpachas, he didn't use a cloth to separate between himself and the Sefer Torah. Le'ema orem b'lo osa mitzvah. It means that he's going to be naked without that particular mitzvah. So the Gemara says, "Hai gozo bereisha," which was the first gezeira. There were two gezeiras here. One is that the hands are metame truma, and the other is that hands that touch the sefer are metame truma. Well, if any hands are metame truma, then why do I need a gezeira that only hands that happen to touch a sefer Torah are going to be metame truma? So ilema hai gozo bereisha. If you first have the gezeira that yadayim in general, stam yadayim, are going to be metame truma, since you have that gezeira, hasulamali. So why do you need a separate gezeira that says that the hand that happened to touch a sefer is tamei? The hand is tamei anyway. Elahak gozer Rather, it must be that the first gezeira was that of a hand that touched the Sefer Torah without a mitpachas, without a cloth or some other separation between the hand and the Sefer, that hand would become tummy, and then afterwards the gezeira was extended with respect to all Yadayim. So there are a few things to discuss from this Gemara, Halacha Lemaise. Actually, there are four different things that I want to discuss, Halacha Lemaise. One is, what do you mean that he's buried without that mitzvah? What mitzvah? What's the mitzvah that we're talking about over here? The second thing is, to what degree do we say that a hand is not allowed to touch a Sefer Torah? Is that even if the hand was washed beforehand? Is this only if the hand was not washed? I mean, if the hand was washed. A third is, does that pertain only to the urea of the Sefer Torah? Does that pertain even to the Eitz Chaim of the Sefer Torah? And the fourth is, does this pertain only to a Sefer Torah? Does it pertain to other Sefer Kodesh as well? So let's focus on the first question. So what's the mitzvah that we're talking about? So the same sugya that appears here in Shabbos appears also in Megillah. So here we have a shorthand of the Tosfos that appears in Megillah. Tosfos here says, below is a mitzvah. It means without an additional mitzvah, meaning that let's say, why would somebody look at a sefer? Maybe they want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So if they were going to learn with it, ain lo skar alo salima. He doesn't get a skar for the Talmud Torah if he was touching the sefer Torah with his hands. So imishu legolalo, and if the mitzvah was that he's going to wrap up the sefer Torah, the mitzvah gelila, ain lo mekayim skar alo gelila. Somebody gets called up for gelila, so he doesn't get the skar if he in fact touches the sefer Torah directly. So Tosfos in Megillah elaborates a little bit more. Yesh meforshim mitzvah. Some say it's not that mitzvah, not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, not the mitzvah of Gelila, but the mitzvah of Achiza, the mitzvah of actually clasping and holding on to a Sefer Torah. So he says, well, what's the Chiddush? He doesn't say, what mitzvah is that? He says, what's the Chiddush? Obviously, he wasn't going to say that mitzvah. He doesn't get a mitzvah for that mitzvah of holding on. He doesn't get schar for the mitzvah of holding on to a Sefer Torah, because he didn't hold on properly. That's why the Riva explains that it means he doesn't get the additional mitzvah that he would have gotten for holding on to the Sefer Torah for an additional purpose. Below is the mitzvah she'asa b'el sasha. He doesn't get the additional mitzvah that he was doing at that time. She'achas Sefer Torah arum mekarabo, that if he touches Sefer Torah with his naked hand and he read from it, ein lo skar min hakriya. He doesn't get the skar of Talmud Torah from the kriya, right? Kriya ha-Torah is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's why we say that an avel during a shiva is not allowed to get an aliyah until the end of shiva. During shiva, he can't get an aliyah because of the fact that he's also b'tamat Torah. It's a mitzvah b'tamat Torah. V'chein achso the golalo the hagio. And similarly, if the person is holding on to it for purposes of wrapping it up or to fix the Sefer Torah, so he has a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, or the mitzvah of Gelila Sefer Torah, but if he, when he was holding on to the Sefer Torah, and he was doing the mitzvah sachisa, he did it properly, so then orach yamin b'mina b'smola oshe b'chava, then he gets a great reward, because then he did the mitzvah properly. Okay, so we understand he didn't get the additional mitzvah. That's the chiddush. The chiddush of the Gemara is, he doesn't get the additional mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He doesn't get the additional mitzvah of Galila. But it's Pashit, says Tosos, he doesn't get the mitzvah of Achiza. If he does the Achiza properly, to a cloth, something like that, so then he gets the mitzvah of Achiza. What do you know? Looks like we discovered a mitzvah. It looks like there is a mitzvah of Achiza Sefer Torah. What is the sinyan of Achiza Sefer Torah? So this is actually discussed in Orach Chaim, in Siman Kufa Lamites, and it's introduced by the Tor. The Tor says, he quotes the Baal HaMinuk, Kasa Baal HaMinuk, Shekore of the Torah, Mevarech Ba, Notla Biyado, that a person is supposed to, it's not just a matter of convenience to make sure that you hold the place, but that there's an inyan of actually holding on to the Sefer Torah. Samach l'minog, and the samach for this minog is from the Gemara in Sukkah. There's a brisa in Sukkah that says, Kacha yamin hagam shel anshei Yerushalayim. The anshei Yerushalayim would go out of their homes during Sukkah, so adam yotzim v'beisav l'lova b'yado. And then it says that the person would do various things, v'lulava b'yado, v'lulava b'yado. But when the person would be kori b'torah v'nose gapav, he'd have to read the Torah, manicho agabi karka. That doesn't mean he's maniach l'sefer Torah agabi karka. He's maniach his lulav agabi karka. Why does he have to put his lulav? Is it lulav? Is b'yado the entire day? Why is he putting his lulav down agabi karka? That's because, clearly, And Rashi says this beferish over there in his commentary on the Gemara, because he has to hold on to the Sefer Torah, the Poscho. He's obligated to hold on to the Sefer Torah. So from this, says the Torah, that there's a smach, that there's some sort of an inyan. He quotes it from the Sefer Minhag. There's some sort of an inyan that a person is actually supposed to hold on to a Sefer Torah. And the Beis Yosef quotes from here as well, from the Mordechai, who says on the Gemara in Sukkah, that Shamina Mehacha Dekari B'Torah Oches Bamudei HaTorah B'Shas Bracha. That we see from here that since it says that the person has to put his sefer, his lulav down when he gives a kori b'torah, that there's an inyan that somebody's kori b'torah is supposed to hold on to the amudim. Mordechai assumes that you hold on to the actual Eitz Chaim, you're not holding on to the Yiriya, but there's some sort of an inyan of holding on to the Torah. And v'chem b'Yerushalmi, and so too you find this as the Beis Yosef in the Yerushalmi, that the Amar Yosef babun kisalki l'duchna l'veruchei. When I went to make a block on the Sefer Torah, Haiman de Barech, the person who made when I went to see a place where they do things a certain way, person made the bracha on the Sefer Torah, Nakir Amuda B'Torah B'Yodei, at the time that he made the bracha, he took the Amud of the Sefer Torah in his hands, Shenemar, and he quotes a Pasuk. We have a Pasuk for this inyan. Now it's getting to be a little bit stronger maybe than just a mere Minhag, right? Well, maybe it's a Minhag with a strong Pasuk. Lakoach HaSefer HaTorah Hazeh, as it says, grab the Sefer Torah Hazeh. Hazeh sounds like you're holding on to something, because when you're showing something Hazeh, that indicates that you're actually, as the Rashi says on Chumash a few times with respect to Menorah Shratzim, that when you're holding, you say Hazeh, means you're holding it in your hand and you're showing it to everybody. It's like an Achisa B'Yodo because you say Hazeh. And it quotes Bereshis Rabba from the Medrash. The Medrash says, Lo Yomosh Sefer HaTorah Hazeh Mipicha, Melamed Shaya Sefer HaTorah B'Yodo Shel Yoshua. That shows that Yoshua was holding on to the Sefer Torah, because it says, Lo Yomosh Sefer HaTorah Hazeh. Hazeh indicates that somebody is holding on to it. She'ein Loma Hazeh, because we don't say Hazeh, El Lemisha Tope Sachepis. We only use the Lashon of Hazeh with respect to somebody who is actually holding on to the chepetz. So from here it appears that there is an actual inyan. That's the mitzvah that Tosis is referring to. There's a mitzvah of achiza, of holding on to the Sefer Torah, but it has to be done properly. What's properly? So properly in the context of our Gemara is explained by Rashi is ayidim mitpachas, that you have to do it through some sort of a cloth. The way understood by the Mordechai holds that if you're holding on to the amudim, you're holding on to the Eitz Chaim, that's as good as holding on to a cloth. So the Taz points out that from the Gemara in Sukkah, it sounds like when they actually went to be Korei B'Torah, put down the lulav, so it sounds like you actually hold on to the Sefer during the time of the Kriya. But from the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, takes the Lashon from the Beis Yosef, takes the Lashon from that he quoted from the Yerushalmi. Apparently the Yerushalmi is not so easy to find. We may not have this Yerushalmi. Quotes from the Yerushalmi that says it was B'Shas Baruchi, that it was the time of the Baracha that they held on to the Sefer Torah. So he says, so which is it? Is it B'Shas Kriya, or is it only, as the Shulchan Aruch says, B'Shas Baracha? So he assumes that it's a Kol Shekein. Tafila B'Shas Bracha, then obviously B'Shas Kriya, when you're actually reading the Torah, so then for sure you're supposed to hold on to the Sefer. But the Chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that it's even B'Shas Bracha, that we see that even B'Shas Bracha, that's also an appropriate time to hold on to the Sefer Torah. But it could be that it depends on the source. If the source is from the Gemara in Sukkah, so the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about Shas Kriya. If the source is from the Yerushalmi, so the Yerushalmi is talking about Shas Bracha. So it could be that it depends on what the source is. So if you look in the Vilna Gaon, the Vilna Gaon quotes the various Pesukim. Makoach HaSefer Torah Zeh, Lo Yomosh HaSefer Torah Zeh, Hazeh Mipicha. And then the Vilna Gaon says, take a look at Maseches Sofer. Which Maseches Sofer? Maseches Sofer, Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Ches. So the Maseches Sofer there quotes all of this, that yes, when your person gets up and he gets his aliyah, you should hold on to the Sefer Torah, open it up. And it says, and you know how we know that you're supposed to open up the Sefer Torah? We know it from the fact that this is what happened in Sefer Ezra. It says, Pischo, that when he opened up the Sefer Torah, Amdu Kol Ha'am, everybody stood up as he's opening up the Sefer Torah. Vayivarech Ezra Hashem, Hayalokim Hagadol. And Ezra made a bracha of Hashem Elokim HaGadol. So it sounds like he was Megadel Shem Hashem by opening up the Sefer Torah. So the Masechet Sofrim asks, B'magadlo, how was Ezra Megadel the Shem Hashem? So it's a machlokis Rav and Rava. Rav says B'Shem HaMefarash, that he was Megadel Shem Hashem through the Shem HaMefarash. And Rava says that he was Megadel Shem Hashem B'Varacha. And then the Masechet Sofrim outlines the Birchas HaTorah that we all say nowadays, exactly the Birchas HaTorah, that's B'Varacha. So it could be that our practice of holding on to the Sefer and considering it to be an inyan, to hold on to the Sefer, Bein B'Shas B'Varacha, Bein B'Shas Kriya, is a fulfillment of the two deos that are born in Masechet Sofrim. According to Rava, it's B'Varacha. So therefore, B'Shas B'Varacha, of course, you have to do it. That's consistent with the Yerushalmi as well. According to Rav, it's a Shema Mefarish. We know Kulo Kol HaTorah, Shema Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Torah represents. Shema Mefarish, it's the best exemplification of a Shema of HaMefarish. That's the actual Kriya B'Torah. So therefore, it could be the basis of the Lashon of the Gemara in Sukkah. So it could be that the practice of having both B'Shas Kriya and B'Shas Bracha is based on the two Deos that are brought in Masechet Sofrim. That's what I wanted to potentially suggest. Now the Magen Avraham brings two different deos as to what it is exactly that you're supposed to hold on to when you go up to read and make a bracha on the Sefer Torah. So he quotes the Kavanos and the Ksavim. I don't know. So he said the Kavanos and the Ksavim. So Magen Avraham says, according to the Kavanos, says you're supposed to hold on to the Amudim. That's consistent with the Lashon of the Mordechai that's quoted by the by the Beis Yosef, although the Mordechai was more specifically talking about the Shabbishas Hagbos HaTorah. And then he quotes from the Ksavim. He says, "V'Ksavim Kasuv B'Shas Havracha Yochas B'Shtei Yada B'Yerias HaTorah Ayyadei Amapa." That during the time of the bracha, a person should actually hold on. It's a Sefer Torah Zeh. So what's the actual Sefer Torah? The actual Sefer Torah, and it's not the Amudim. The actual Sefer Torah are the Urias of the actual, you know, parchment of the Sefer Torah. So you should hold on to the parchment. Aye, but Rabbi Parnach said you can't hold on to the parchment of the Sefer Torah Arum. You can't hold on with your naked hands. So he says, therefore, Ayyadei Hamapa. You do it Ayyadei Hamapa. So I don't think that this is the practice. I think that the general practice is that a person takes an intervening item to make the to kiss the Sefer Torah, like it's a talis, right? And you kiss the Sefer Torah, but you're very makbid that we don't actually touch the ureus of the Sefer Torah, even with our talis, even with the mappa, we generally just hold on to the abudim. But he does quote such a practice in the name of the Ksavim, that some have a practice to actually touch the ureus, but if you do touch the ureus, that for sure would have to be through the intervention of a mappa, of a cloth, or a talus of some sort, so that one doesn't touch it directly. Now, what if...
Remember, yes? I lay the Torah, all Torah, which we... I must say, I have started to come, they get the Aliyah, but after they touch the... they want to touch the cloth, they want to... and they do it with, like, I think they do it with beggar, they interrupt it, and I was always, bothered a little bit why they were doing that, but it seems like that's the sheet of the...
Yes.
That's why we kiss the Sefer Torah, the talus, because we want to fulfill both shittos.
Some people want it. That could be. This way we're actually touching the urea, so we're fulfilling it by touching the urea, by touching it with our talus. Inachinam. Okay. What if the person actually washed his hands? Is the problem only if their hands are not washed? Or what if the person actually has hands, washed hands? The Gemara says that the gezeira for the yadayim is because stam yadayim askani yosei. So the Raviyah is quoted by the Mordechai at the very, very end, the last Mordechai. At the very end, you don't have to remember any difficult gematrias for the siman. It's the last Mordechai at the very end of Maseches Megillah. The Mordechai quotes the Raviyah very cursorily, whatever the word is, saying that this entire inyan that's quoted in the name of Rabbi Parnach is only if your hands weren't washed. If you went right before your aliyah, the Gabbai says you're getting an aliyah, you get all excited, you put the aliyah card in your pocket, then you run outside and you wash your hands to prepare yourself for the task. So then you're allowed to even touch the Sefer Torah. So it's the Mordechai and the Shein, the name of the Raviyah. Where did the Raviyah get this from? So the Raviyah brings a proof from our Gemara. Because the Gemara says, Hai Gaza Bereisha, Ilema Ha Gaza Bereisha, Kimin da hakos the bereisha hasulamali. Says if the first gezera was that of Yadayim Askani Hussein, and that's why there is a gezera that the Yadayim Mitame, so then we didn't need the separate gezera that Yadayim Haboy Machma Sefer also Mitame. So the Rabbi said that if in fact it's going to be a problem, even if you washed your hands, so the Gemara could have answered, well, the first gezeira is overcome if you wash your hands. The second gezeira says that even if you wash your hands, you're going to be in trouble if you touch a sefer Torah. And that was the second gezeira, because the first gezeira was Yadayim Maskaniyah, so if your hands are washed, no problem. The second gezeira would indicate that even if your hands were perfectly washed, it's still an issur. So from the fact that the Gemara didn't give that answer, the Gemara just said, you're right, chronologically it was the other way around. So that's proof that, in fact, if you did wash your hands, it would not be a problem. Because otherwise that would have been the chiddush of the second gezeira. So since that's not the chiddush, it must not be the din. That it must be that if your hands are washed, then it would be perfectly permissible. So Tosfos doesn't assume this way, because Tosfos asks the same question. Tosfos on the top of Yudalid Amud Beis asks him, Toma v'hanafkamina l'nogea sefer miyad achar netila v'lo yisiach daito. Then maybe the nafkamina would be that the second gezeira would come along and would be mechadesh that even if you just washed your hands and you didn't have hesach hadas, that it still would be biyah. And nonetheless, we're going to be goes there tumah because of Rabbi Panach that you can't touch the sefer, presumably, even if your hands have been fully washed. So Tosfos doesn't say, ah, we see from here that wouldn't be a problem. Tosfos gives a different teretz. Tosfos says, yeah, inachinami, that would also be a problem. Because of Rabbi Parnach, even if your hands were completely washed, it would still be a problem if you touched the Sefer Torah naked, with naked hands. But for that alone, that wouldn't have warranted a special gzeira by itself. Because it would have been a milsed lo shchicha that somebody would have washed, they would have touched their hands immediately after netilo. But it sounds like, according to Tosfos, the Nirachinami, the gezeira of the yadayim abayim machma sefer would extend even to a circumstance where a person had just washed their hands. And in fact, that's how it's paskined in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, that when it comes to a Sefer Torah, even if, the Ramah Paskins, even if somebody has just washed at their hands, they are nonetheless not allowed to hold on to the Sefer Torah. This is important halacha l'maisa in the following sense, that sometimes you have people who have to do work on a Sefer, to fix a Sefer, sew it up, or whatever, where it's pretty much impossible to do the work that is necessary without touching the area. So here the Prima Gadim, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says that there would be a dispensation. One could, in fact, touch the urea under those circumstances. However, it's better to wash their hands first, because even though, according to Tosfos, washing hands doesn't help, according to the Raviyah, washing hands does help. And therefore, if you have to touch the urea with your hands, you're much better to at least be yotzei, according to the Raviyah, and make sure that your hands are washed beforehand. However, strictly speaking, you can avoid, you get out of it, so then we don't allow touching the urea even if your hands are washed. The important, the most common application of this general din is with respect to when Gelila is performed. And sometimes the person who did Hagba wasn't completely successful at keeping the ureas completely straight, and you have one of the ureas that sags down and it has to be straightened out in order to do Galila properly. So then the proper practice, of course, is rather than picking up the urea with one's bare hands, which would be a violation of Rabbi Parnach, even if one had actually washed their hands beforehand, we always use a talis to intervene between the hand and the urea and pick up the urea with the talis so that the urea can be straightened out without a violation of touching directly with one's hands. So this question as to whether it's okay to touch the sefer if one has washed their hands, the Aruch HaShulchan wants to suggest, is dependent upon whether we say that when the second gezeira came along, the first gezeira went away. It says that the first gezeira, according to the Maskana of the Gemara, was the gezeira on the Yadayim Abayim Machma Sefer. Second gezeira was all Stam Yadayim Machma Shei Maskanius. So when you had the second gezeira, did that to do away with the need for the first gezeira? Tosus even asked Akasha, saying should be 19 gezeiras, right? Once you bring in your diamond boy machma sefer, why do we say 18? It should be 19. Well, maybe because it was on a different day, it wasn't Boba Yom. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that you could keep it at 18 if you say that when the second gezeira came along, the first gezeira was nullified. But he says that if the first gezeira was nullified, no, the first gezeira, well, according to the Maskana Segemar, was Yadayim by Machma Sefer. We just said, according to Tosfos, that's even if one had recently washed their hands. But if when the second gezeira, the gezeira Stam Yadayim came along, the first gezeira went away because it wasn't necessary anymore, okay? So now we don't have a gezeira that of the daimach by machma sefer, and therefore we don't have the gezeira that would indicate that it's a problem to touch the sefer even if your hands weren't washed. So if you look at the Rambam in Maseches Yadayim Perigimah Halacha Gimel, the Rambam actually does say that the second gezeira did away with the first gezeira. There was no longer the first gezeira once the second gezeira comes along. So he wants to argue based on the lashon of the Rambam, it should follow that washing hands should solve the problem. The problem is that the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah indicates in Perek Yud Halacha Vav does not distinguish between whether one's hands have been washed or whether one's hands haven't been washed. So his theory doesn't play out so perfectly. As we noted, Tosfos refuses to accept this notion altogether that we can derive from the existence of the two gezeros that it follows that one would be able to derive like the Rav Yod did that there was not this additional notion that remained in place. So in any event, it's just an interesting theory, an interesting chakira within the Aruch HaShulchan. Then the third question is, what about holding on to the actual amudim? Could that conceivably be a problem? Yeah.
According to the Rav Yah, that washing helps with the Sefer Torah. So when people are davening chakras, they wash before they daven. So would that mean, according to the Rav Yah, he would hold that you have a green light to touch the Sefer?
No, probably not, because washing before you daven probably would be too long a lag. We told you because it's a problem if there's any kind of hesach hadas. So just like it's hesach hadas, you wash your hands to say hamotzi. We don't allow for too much time to transpire and for you to be involved in too many activities, but to be able to count the initial netilas yadayim without requiring you to have a do-over. If it was an hour beforehand when you wash your hands, then I'll be pashtus that would constitute a hesach hadas.
Yeah, but the Rambam says that one of the requirements for tefillah is that the hands are in a state of tahara, and let's say a person washes right before he daven chakras, so then he'd be okay.
For purposes of the Tumas Yadayim that we're talking about, the assumption that pretty much all the poskim seem to have is that it would have to be a Netila Mamish right before you actually touch the Sefer. That seems to be the assumption. I suppose that if you have somebody who's really concentrating very hard on his Yadayim, then you could make such an argument. But the assumption seems to be that it would constitute a Hesach Hadas. It's a good question, but that seems to be the assumption. Yes.
Okay.
That'd be item number four.
Right.
Okay, so item number three. Okay, we'll try to... Yeah.
When Kohanim turns on Sidayim again, what they specifically had in mind, would that help me?
Yeah, but the Netila Sidayim, at least in Chutzlar, it's after Kriya Sator, so what good does that do?
Would that be a raya? The fact that Kohanim didn't move to Sidayim again, would that be a raya that we assume is a Hesach Hadas over the course?
I think so. I think that's a good raya as well. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, so there are different levels of Tara. It's a very valid point. Now, in terms of the third item, so the Beis Yosef had quoted, after the Beis Yosef quoted the Rav Yah, after quoted the Beis Yosef basically says that on this basis, we're completely comfortable lifting up doing Galila, touching the Sefer Torah. So this is a question. Does that mean that only according to the Rav Yah you can lift up the Sefer Torah even using the Eitz HaChayim? So the Beis Yosef says, yeah, this is the Raya that we don't put a mitpachas on the Sefer Torah. So the Bach assumes that if you're not going to be somek on the Rav Yah, even in terms of touching the Eitz HaChayim, you should use a mitpacha. So therefore, he recommends that if somebody is a medakted b'masav and he does hagba on a sefer Torah, so he should use a mitpacha. So he should use some sort of a separation. I would recommend against it because I would think that that could create a little bit of slippiness potentially. And hagba is a perilous enough task, you know, just holding on with one's hands alone. So I would leave that not only for the medakted b'masav, but you know, for the real, you know, mumchim b'masav as well, potentially. However, the Taz assumes, and this is what's generally assumed halacha lemaise, that it's not only according to the Rabbi that this would be okay, but the only real problematic touching of a Sefer Torah that is referenced in the Gemara when we say Okez with Sefer Torah Arum is touching the actual urea, but not touching, but just like if you use a cloth, that wouldn't be a problem, so too the actual Eitz Chaim wouldn't be a problem either. For those who want to be Machmir, so the Mishnah Berurah says that, that there are those who want to be, you know, Machmir about this, to assume that this is only... according to the Rabia, who says that you could hold touch the Sefer Torah directly if you washed your hands. So since you could touch the Sefer Torah directly if you washed your hands, so if you're one step removed and you're picking up the Amudim of the Sefer Torah, so that you could do even if you don't wash your hands. But if you assume that normally you can't touch the Sefer Torah at all without washing your hands, so you also shouldn't be able to touch the Amudim either, according to the Machmirim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, since the Minhag Ha'olam is not to be nisar on this, is not to worry about touching the actual amudim. If somebody gets an aliyah and they want to cover up the amudim with their talis, then they should make sure to do it very inconspicuously. Because if they do it conspicuously, meaning they make, you know, a whole, some people are very conspicuous when they get an aliyah. The whole aliyah is very conspicuous. It's a grand production. So if they make also the holding of the amud into a grand production, now I'm taking out my talis, or, you know, can I have a mitpachas, please? I need to have it so I can hold the sefer Torah. You know, if they, so that would be mexikiura. That would already be considered to be a sign of arrogance. So somebody is going to be mocked by this regard. And there are machmirim. There are machmirim. There are great, there are gedolim who are machmirim on this, but they make sure to do it in a tzenua fashion. I was told I shouldn't blow their cover, because if you blow the cover, so then they're not able to do it inconspicuously anymore. But there are those who are machmirim. They may not do it with both hands. They may do it with one hand, where it's just kind of like natural, where the talus folds over the right hand, it doesn't fold over the left hand, whatever. But miyikar adin, we don't worry so much about this.
Can we notice someone?
What?
Will we be able to notice something like that in our yeshiva?
Who knows? Could be. He was talking about, but in any kind of sefer, you'll have, you know, something that you can cling on to that's not going to be the urea, whatever it happens to be, you know? Right. Right, it might be. It might depend on the Sefer Torah. But they talk explicitly about the notion of the Eitz Chaim. They speak explicitly about the notion of the Eitz Chaim, but in Achinami. Okay, and then the fourth issue is, does this extend to other Kisvei Kodesh as well? So the Tosfos, Dibur HaMaschio, HaOchei Sefer Torah Orim, second to last Tosfos on Yudal and Manala, says, Ksas Masher Lav Davka Sefer Torah. It's mashed a little bit. It's not only a sefer Torah, but a kisvei kodesh. Now, meseches yadayim, meseches yadayim. It says that all the kisvei kodesh shemetamin is a yadayim, shemetamin is a yadayim. So therefore, based on this Tosfos, there is a chumrah that's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kuf Mem Zayin, that this would be applicable to other Sefer Kodesh as well. Where else does this become applicable? So it's mostly applicable when one is laying in Megillah. One is laying in Megillah, so it's very difficult to avoid. There you don't have the Amudim when it comes to a Megillah. There you basically, a Megillah Sester, the whole thing is just cloth. It's pure cloth. So when you lay in a Megillah, it becomes impossible pretty much to lay in it without holding on to the urea. So here, the Rama says that although we're machmir when it comes to Sefer Torah, because it's very clear that the halacha applies to Sefer Torah, we would draw the following distinction, that with respect to Sefer Torah, so we're not going to rely upon the Rabia, but with respect to other Sifrei Kodesh, where there's a Shaila, whether it applies, the halacha applies altogether, because what does Tosfos say? Tosfos just says, ksas mashma, it's a mashma, a little bit. So it's not entirely clear that the halakha would apply to them altogether. And secondly, it's not entirely clear that the Rabia is wrong, that washing your hands wouldn't cure the problem. So therefore, in this particular case, says the Rama, when it comes to other Sifrei Kodesh, we would allow holding on with one's hands to the ureas, provided that you had washed your hands beforehand. So therefore, the appropriate minog, if you look in the Dachimosha casts a question on this whole issue of whether we should be machmir altogether when it comes to other Sifrei Kodesh, but at the very least, it's appropriate for Bali Kriya, since Tosfos does bring this topic, and the Rama says that it's appropriate, you know, to touch it if one, or it's okay to touch it, certainly if one has washed their hands. Why take a chance if one hasn't washed their hands, then it might in fact be problematic? So it's appropriate for Bali Kriya, who are reading a Megillah, they're reading Megillah Esther, or Megillah Rus, or whatever other Megillah, where they're just going to be dealing with pure urea, that it's appropriate for the Bali Kriya to wash their hands beforehand. And even a Bali Kriya who's practicing Megillah Esther at home, he's going to have to use the urea, so it's appropriate for him to do Netilas Yadayim beforehand, before touching the ureas. Yes?
Just how far in advance beforehand do you have to do that? I mean, is if you wash before davening and you just in the
I think a minute or so, you know, in advance.
So
I
just
think,
davening and then washing. And
yeah, the pashtus is that the washing that you did in the morning when you got up is not considered to be sufficient.
But that would mean in the morning, let's be practical, in the morning you have Kriyas HaTorah, then you're doing the Megillah, so it means that any wearing tefillin, so the person who does Kriyas HaTorah then walk out, wash his hands, and come back and do Kriyas Megillah?
Look, I'm a Kohen, so it's not such a startling notion to go and wash your hands while you're wearing tefillin. You know, I mean, you go and I have to do it, you know, every day when I'm in Eretz Yisrael. So, that would be the clear indication of what would be appropriate.
B'di'evit,
it might not be the end of the world because it's not a halacha that's completely muskan, but it's something which is recommended. It's recommended. The Mishnah Berurah recommends that it's something that should be done. Look in Simon Kuf Mem Zion with these halachas support.
But if you wash your hands before davening, you don't have sechadas, could that do as well or not?
I don't know. I was once when we had that with Shavuos Yalchei Kala a couple of years ago, so I laid Megillas Rus. And then after I finished laying Megillas Rus, so Rav Shechter, you know, walked over to me and he said, you know, it's interesting, this halacha is brought down that, you know, that the Bali Kriya should wash their hands before they lay in a Megillah because you're touching the Kisrei Kodesh. So I took from him sending. I mean, it happens that I did walk out in the middle and had the opportunity to wash my hands, fortunately. But I understood from what he was saying that he was indicating that it was his belief from the fact that he felt the need to even point it out. That the washing that one would automatically do upon Negovasa would not be sufficient, would not be good enough. Because otherwise, there'd be nothing to discuss. Everybody washes Negovasa in the morning, so then they go straight to Shul. So obviously, the implication was, his understanding was, that it's something that should be done takeif on some level, that it should be done right before handling the Megillah. And I'll be cautious, because there's an assumption of a Hesachdas of some sort in the middle. It should be a washing that is specifically for the purpose of having clean hands for the moment in which you're going to be handling the sefer, that you're going to be handling the urea. So that's important when it comes to the Kisrei Kodesh. When it comes to Sefer Torah itself, so then we never allow the touching of the urea, then you always have to have something intervening. And we're generally makel with respect to the Eitz Chaim, that we assume that that's okay, and those who are machmir should do it bitzina. Okay? I'd gone. Good.
Yeah.